Hello and welcome back to the Find Your Feet podcast, a podcast show dedicated to helping you get closer to your true authentic self by helping you find your feet in life. Welcome to episode 65.
Today we are so excited because we are talking to the amazing Lisa McFarland all about love, dating, relationships, manifesting, dating websites, everything you can think of.
Yeah, she gives us loads and loads and loads of really, really good advice for people that are in relationships and people that are single, but, you know, want to work on themselves so that they can attract the best partner possible for them. So yeah, she gave us so many good tips, a lot of wisdom, a lot of good advice. So you're really going to enjoy this episode. We've never really addressed relationships in this way on our podcast. So we're really, really, really happy that Lisa came on and shared her expertise on this. I think you guys are definitely going to get a lot out of this interview.
Yeah, I feel like we pulled so much little bits of wisdom out of her. I can't wait for yours here. It's really going to change your mindset.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, she's already changed my mindset so much from a couple of things that she said. So there's definitely a lot of nuggets in this episode for you guys to take away. But before we get into it, we're just going to read out our Apple Podcast review of the week. And this week's review is from Adina Parr. And she says, a life-changing podcast. Listen to the majority of the episodes now, and I love them all. They have changed my mindset so much.
Thank you so much, Adina. I always see her comments and likes and stuff on Instagram.
On Instagram, yeah.
So supportive. Thank you so much. Like, your support literally means so much to us.
Yeah. We are, honestly, everybody that's a regular interactor with us on Instagram, like, I actually remember everybody's name, like, recognize one, and then you leave a review. I'm like, I know who you are. So yeah, thank you so much for your support on the gram and also for leaving that really, really lovely review. And if you guys want to be featured in review of the week next week, all you need to do is go onto Apple Podcasts and leave us some feedback for your chance to be featured in review of the week next week.
Yes, come and leave us a review and let us know your thoughts.
Okay, I'd just like to welcome our guests on the show today. We've got Lisa. She is a relationship coach. We're so happy to have you on the podcast. We've never had anyone on who's a relationship expert, so we're so excited to chat to you today.
I have trouble with the word expert, but that's okay. That's okay. That's just my imposter syndrome coming out. But coach is fine. Relationship coach is fine. But yeah. Yeah, but thank you, girls. Thank you for reaching out. And as I always say to people, if you don't reach out, it's always a no. So you reached out and I was like, yes, of course, we'll do this. This would be great. And I'm all about just trying to educate people and give tips and tools that I didn't have when I was your age.
Yeah, we're really grateful for you coming on. So just so that we can get to know you a little bit better, and then obviously so our listeners can get to know you, how did you get into becoming a relationship coach, and what's your sort of story?
Perfect. Okay, so my husband and I have been together now 31 years. So we've been together since we were 18, but I will be forever 34. I'm going to be 43 forever. I think that's a good age. 43. It's like you're kind of a grown up, but you're not like a real grown up. You've kind of done the 30s thing. So anyway, obviously I'm 49, but I will be 43 forever. That's all by the by. So we were together and had a great relationship. We were in love, all the things. We had our normal arguments. We had normal stuff that came up for us. But about 5 years ago, a situation came up for us in our other business. We run a business together, but now I do this more than that. But anyway, and a situation came up for us. It was a legislation change that had to be done in our work. And we just had two different ways of going about it. I was very much, let's just tick all the boxes, get it done, move on. And he was very much, this doesn't really sit with me very well. It goes against my ethics to do it like this. So that was conversation after conversation after conversation. Then we started arguing about it, and then we started talking about it in front of the children, and it just started to overtake our lives. And this went on for about 6 months. I eventually said, you know what, we need to go and talk to somebody about this. I had been to counselling after my mum had passed away and found it very beneficial. So we went for couples counselling three times, and it was just so beneficial. Simple little things she told us just changed everything. Around that time, someone had offered me the chance to do a life coaching course, and I was very dubious because I had not done very well at school. I had my exams when I finished at 16, and I went to college tech and did childcare, but I'm dyslexic, so I had lots of limiting beliefs around education. But I started it, and of course, what was the first module? Limiting beliefs. So I had to get through my limiting beliefs about stories we make up in our heads or stories that we've been told that keep us small. So I had to work myself through all that. And then once I finished the course, and then Nige and I had learned all these tools from our coaching sessions, then I just kept saying, why does everyone not know this stuff? Why does everyone not know these things? Why does everyone not know that our thoughts lie to us? Why does everyone not know about limiting beliefs? Why does everyone not know about how stress can affect your health? And then, quite frankly, people got sick listening to me. And they said, Lisa, you should do a wee page. And it was just to get rid of me. It was just to get rid of me. That was all it was. It was just to stop moaning at my friends and family and divert me onto something else. I was very nervous and worried, but I started the wee page. I don't know why I'm doing air quotes in the air when it's a podcast, but anyway, I started the wee page in May 2019. And then in January 2020, I decided to start doing little classes in my local area for women to help with their confidence, their communication, and their conflict in their relationships. So I started that in January, and it was my little sideline. And then lockdown came, and I was heartbroken. I had about 600 followers on Facebook. And when lockdown came the first time, and was that March 24th, 2020, I said, mm-hmm. I'm going to go on Instagram every morning at 10 o'clock because I'm a life coach and I'm struggling right now. So everybody else must be struggling. So I went on Instagram every single morning at 10 o'clock. And I said, do you remember in the first lockdown when they told us it would be 2 weeks?
Yeah.
I thought to myself, I have 2 weeks content to tell people, no problem at all. But I actually had to go on for 57 days until we got out of the first lockdown. And during those 57 days, people, influencers here in Ireland started to notice me, and they started to shout me out on their pages. And then my numbers started to go up and up and up. And now I'm sitting at 11,600 or something. And I have a very successful couples coaching.
That's so amazing.
So that was
so good. No, it's amazing. It just shows that consistency is the key. You're showing up every day and like helping those people. And as well, I really love how you have developed into doing this like little career path from a tough time, because I feel like so many people want to hear this, like even though your friends might have been okay, Lisa, go and start your page. So many people out there like want to hear this. Like I feel like it's the one thing in life we just don't get much direction over, how to navigate relationships. You kind of just pushed out, you just told to go for it, not much direction.
I keep saying to people, and I've yet to have this challenge met, I keep saying, bring me something else that you get no education on. When you get your iPhone or your AirPods, you get a book this thick, or you get to go on to Google and read about how to connect them and how to do this. And no one has been able to bring me the answer to this challenge. What else do we get no education on? But wait, then when it ends, we are told we're a failure. That would be like going off to be a journalist with no training. That would be like going off to be an engineer with no training. And then when you can't do the job, you're told you're a failure. We get no education on how to do this. And then when it doesn't go well, then we're told we've failed. It's insanity. It's insanity.
Yeah, it really is. It really is, because relationships are such a huge part of our lives and a huge part of our emotional well-being and happiness and everything. But yes, it's good that we've got people like you out here on Instagram and sharing all your knowledge to help people. But let's jump straight in with, I feel like this is the question everyone's going to want to know. What is the one main thing, like, because obviously you work with so many couples, what is the patterns that you notice? What is the one main thing that like ruins relationships, and what is the one main thing that helps them thrive that like everybody could just take away and start implementing today in their own relationships?
Well, funny you should say that. I'm doing a webinar next Tuesday night on all these things. I'm doing a couples webinar next Tuesday night on there's sort of about five different things. But if you want me to tell you where to start, an easy thing to start with, please, please, please start by doing your love language test. So you go on to Google. It is a free test. It is a gentleman who was a relationship counselor in America for 20 years. And he has made this beautiful test. It's a bit of fun. And there are five love languages. I will tell them to you now. Time, words of affirmation, acts of service, gifts, and touch. Okay. And the thing is, sometimes what happens is we speak to our person in our love language. So my love language and my husband's love language is time. Our primary one is time. So that's easy. My second love language is words of affirmation. So I would tend to say things like this to him. Oh, you look lovely today. Oh, I like that shirt. Oh, your hair looks nice. Or I like what you did. And his response to me is, okay. Doesn't fill him up. It doesn't fill his cup. His secondary love language after time is acts of service. So if he is out washing the car, if he is out cutting the grass and I bring him a cup of coffee, you would think that I had brought him a bar of gold. His love language is acts of service. And what we can do is we can be spinning our wheels, thinking we're loving our other person, but we're loving them in our love language, not their love language. Does that make sense?
The next thing
for couples is lack of intimacy, sex, all the things. We have to maintain a healthy sex life through our relationship. A healthy sex life is the glue to a long-term relationship. It is the absolute glue. If you do not have a healthy sex life, you are roommates. Who will eventually start to drive each other crazy and not in a good way.
Yeah. That's so interesting about the love languages. Yeah, because I feel like when you look back on it, like when I look back on a few relationships and I think about the love language, it does make sense. Like if you're acting from your own love language and theirs is not the same, then obviously something's just not going to match. It's so interesting once you know that. But can you be like a mixture of a few love languages? Because as you were saying them then, I was like, I feel like I'm like all of them. But I suppose obviously it's just some degree.
Here's the thing. We all like all of those. Who doesn't want to be touched? Who doesn't want to have gifts? Who doesn't want those things? But it's about coming to your relationship with those. Coming to your relationship. Another really good thing to do is your core values. So you can have people who are lovely, giving, kind people, but their core values aren't the same. Maybe one wants to travel and the other doesn't. Maybe one wants a family, the other doesn't. Maybe a core value is commitment and security and the other one is a free spirit. One of the main problems also in relationship is not having a healthy relationship with ourselves. The more we can do the inner work, the better our relationship is, the more love and acceptance we have for ourselves. And then we bring that greatness to other people. That's where we need to start. But if you are broken inside, if you have anxiety, if your attachment style is anxious or avoidant, these are going to show up in your relationships. We have to do the inner work. I was codependent for 25 years and my husband is a people pleaser. For 25 years, we did that. And that just went round and round in circles. Once we knew that this was issues for us, then we can reach into them and go, oh, this is codependency coming up for me. I need to work on this. Oh, this is people pleasing. I need to work on this. Once we recognize them in ourselves, instead of saying they need to change, they need to do that, they need to do this. What work do we have to do? And reprogramming is a huge chunk of the work that we have to do within couples. Do you know what reprogramming is?
I was going to actually ask you. So when you say reprogramming, do you work a lot kind of on the inner child work, or do you think it's more to do with like our adult relationships with our parents? Like, what kind of work do you do?
I don't do inner child work. I look a little bit, when I work with couples, I look a little bit at what was your upbringing like? Mm. What argument style did you see in your house? And then I'm the worst coach ever because I tell everybody everything about myself. So then I just share with people what will come up for me. So I'm a huffer. I've been huffing since I was two. And I got my way through my childhood from huffing. I then started huffing in my relationship and it didn't work out so well. But it was the only programming I had. So I have to address that and say, okay, I can feel myself huffing. I know huffing is what I used to do, but I'm a grown up now and I can do things better. So then I speak into the fear. I speak into the anger. I speak into what it is. And I don't let my ego overtake everything and just speak from a place of hurt and anger and all those sort of things. So that's reprogramming. Reprogramming can be defensiveness. So if you're challenged at all, sometimes people can be very defensive. And it's just a matter of saying, okay, I can feel myself becoming defensive. Maybe use a tool like the story I'm telling myself is you don't love me anymore, or the story I'm telling myself is you don't want to be with me. And maybe your person will say, that's not what I'm saying. All I'm saying is this irritated me. And then that's how we reprogram. We say, okay, well, I'll stop telling myself that and let's speak into what this issue is. It's all very grown up. Yeah. There's no door slamming. There's no Love Island. There's nothing over here. There's no Love Island. There's no Geordie Shore. There's no all the things over here in grown-up relationship land. Okay. And if that does happen, we have to use the reset tool and we say, okay, went back to my old programming of screaming and shouting and slamming doors and back into toxic behavior. Can I reset? And let's try again like grown-ups.
Wow.
Maybe I should get myself on one of those programs. That would be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
that would be good.
Entertainment on a whole new level. We'd be actually learning things if we had that.
Yes. Yeah. The more I work with younger people, thing is, in my heart, I still think I'm your age, which is hilarious. So my big girls are now 19. Sorry, all over the place. My big girls are 19 and 18. And part of the reason why I started this was I thought they were going to get this information somewhere or other, but they didn't. And they're very fortunate and they have a boyfriend each. What am I even saying? Their boyfriends are very nice, calm people. But there are other friends and there's other people I talk to on Instagram who think that relationships are this mental argument, screaming, all this, and then passion and sex and then, that's just not what relationships are meant to look like. That's not healthy relationships. Relationships are meant to look like, they're meant to feel and be nurturing and be calm and be supportive and be fun. They're not meant to be a merry-go-round of ups and downs and ups and downs and madness. That's not what relationships are meant to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's always portrayed like on all those shows that you were saying before, like Love Island, all this stuff and all this reality TV. It is always portrayed as huge drama, arguments, falling like constantly, and that is normal. There isn't really that many, I don't know, really good, healthy examples in or like media of how relationships should be. So I think especially like the younger generation, we definitely have grown up not really knowing exact, unless we had it in within our own families and you know, examples from our own parents and stuff, then you can have a very warped view of how it should be. But you touched on attachment styles there. I've just finished reading Attached, and that book was the first time I'd become aware of what these attachment styles were. And just from reading that book, like, it gives you such a deeper level of self-awareness. I'm not in a relationship, but I can see now that I've got that bit of knowledge how much that will actually impact me when I do get in one. But obviously there's the three attachment styles. But you were speaking before about like the reset and all of that stuff and changing the reprogramming. How do you think that people can, if they have an anxious or an avoidant attachment style, how can they start to, what's the best way for them to move forward to starting to be more secure in their relationship and their attachment style?
It's about being secure in yourself.
Mm.
We have to do the inner work. We have to do the inner work. Again, I thought this was not a thing for your generation, but I came up with, my childhood was Cinderella and all the fairy tales that are so damaging. Disney and I are going to have a serious conversation at some stage. That now Moana and such, like Moana and Frozen, are slightly better. But anyway, and also I came up with, you know, Jerry Maguire and Pretty Woman, where it was someone else would complete you and you needed to have this other person. You needed to have this other half. So we are whole the way we are. We are whole. We are complete. And if we want to choose to journey this life with someone, awesome. Awesome. But you're whole the way you are, girls. You're whole the way you are, guys. Okay? And then you bring that greatness to someone else. And if the relationship works, brilliant. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But you were already whole beforehand. So you'll be sad. You'll grieve. But it'll be okay. It'll be all right. Another person does not define who you are. You have to be complete yourself, and you bring that completeness to another person. And that's how you build great relationships. Again, I'm going to put my hands up, even though it's a podcast, but I know I can see you, girls. Two whole people building a relationship. So my hands are up and then my hands fold over. Two whole people already knowing all their stuff. Can I swear? No. Already knowing all their stuff.
Yeah, I swear.
Already knowing their So you can figure out your shit. Figure out your shit. Figure out your shit.
Yeah.
Okay. Do the work. Go to a coach. Go to counseling. Do the thing. I saw a great meme one time and it said, I don't want your dick pics. I want your receipts from your counseling courses. You know?
I love that.
Okay. I don't want to see your pictures of your freaking bits and pieces. I want to see what work you're doing on yourself. Okay. Or the sexiest thing is women and guys working on their own stuff and then bringing that greatness, knowing they have a great love, a great thing to share, bringing that to someone else and then building a beautiful thing together, building a relationship. So it's almost like I would teach people, it's two people building a relationship. Okay, so imagine the relationship is a cup or a garden or a house. You're building this thing. If one of you decides, I'm not into this building work anymore, I'm out, it's okay. You're still complete the way you were.
You heard it here first, guys. Stop sending dick pics. You need to be sending screenshots of your counseling receipts. So if you want to take your mental health to the next level, if you want to start doing some of the inner work so that your relationships can thrive, and we have the perfect place for you to go to start working on your inner world. On this podcast, we have partnered up with BetterHelp. That's Help, H-E-L-P. And BetterHelp are a professional, secure online counseling service available for clients all over the world. They'll set you up with a therapist in just under 2 days, and all their therapists have a huge range of expertise. So no matter what it is that you want to work on, if you've got anxiety, depression, limiting beliefs and blocks, if you're suffering from grief, anything, there's somebody on there that can help you. And even if it turns out you're not too keen on the therapist you originally get matched up with, you can actually change for free as many times as you want until you find the perfect person.
Yeah, exactly. I always say that's such a great thing about BetterHelp is that you can change, because the therapist is obviously the most important thing. You need to vibe with your therapist. And BetterHelp are not just a small company, they are a worldwide brand, and there are over 1 million people using BetterHelp today. So if you do want to go and check out the reviews or anything like that, or just to see what BetterHelp are about, you can head to betterhelp.com/reviews and see what everyone is saying about them.
Yes, as Abby said, there are millions and millions of people already using BetterHelp. It is an online counseling service that is available for clients all over the world. So it doesn't matter where you are, whatever country you are listening to this podcast in right now, you can use BetterHelp. So easy to go on there and set up an account. Just fill out a questionnaire so they can find out what are your needs and match with the perfect therapist. You can contact your therapist at any time and you'll always receive a really quick response. So easy to set weekly video or phone sessions with your therapist, or if you prefer not to do voice therapy, you can actually just do it by email or via chat box. So however you feel the most comfortable communicating with your therapist, they'll work around you.
And the best thing about BetterHelp is that they are way more affordable than your traditional offline counseling. And BetterHelp have kindly given our listeners 10% off their first month. So it's going to go from around £50 per week to around £40 per week, which is really affordable. So if you do want to get that discount and start your own journey with BetterHelp, you can head to betterhelp.com/findyourfeet. That's betterhelp.com/findyourfeet. We will leave the link in the show notes and you can get started on your own therapy journey.
Yes, but there's no shame in therapy. Like Lisa's been saying through this whole episode, we need to be doing the inner work. No one teaches us this stuff. Mm. So if you are ready to take the next step, don't let shame get in the way. It's just like taking your mind to the gym, and you are so worth investing in the support if you need it. But that's all for now. Let's get back into the episode. Yeah. That's so very wise, very true. When I was reading the book, there was one bit that surprised me, because there is what you were just saying there about is two people that join together. That is become so much more of like a common just narrative that's spoken about it, about relationships. I think probably because the way that society's moved now, like all the Disney films of the girl getting saved, you know, it doesn't really resonate with what people want to believe anymore. So there is this more narrative swinging about now that people, you're two separate people and you join together. But when I was reading Attached, there was one bit and it said that like the most secure couples and know that they are responsible for their partner's like emotional well-being, which I thought was interesting, because I think, I want to hear your thoughts on this and what you think, but I feel like some people think you are completely two separate people and you just come together and you can't like overlap like your shit and like all your thing, you know. But then in Attached, it was saying like the most secure couples are the ones that do feel that they are responsible for their partner's emotional well-being. Whereas I feel like so many people think, no, I'm not, like, you have to make yourself happy and then we'll just be together. Like, but where do you think is like, I don't know, sort of the line, where's that bridge over?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a line. That can be a very dangerous part of the book I didn't agree with. But yeah, all books, you don't have to agree with all parts of all books to get something from it. But there are parts of it, that's a very dangerous road to go down. Mm. If you're dealing with someone who has depression or bipolar and you're now thinking, right, I'm responsible for your emotional well-being. We are responsible for our emotional well-being. But we also want greatness for our other person. So if you have two people in a relationship who want greatness for each other, sure, isn't that beautiful? So my husband wants me to be my best self. My husband wants me to know my greatness and shine, and he wants to be there to support me. I want him to be his best self. I want him to be his most confident. I want him to be his most outgoing. I want to support him in the areas that I know that he would say that he lacks in. And he wants to support me with my technical skills around computers and all the things, okay? And then it's two people supporting each other, not being responsible for, supporting each other and bringing each other to even more greatness than you would have if you were just you. Because that's what partnerships should do. Look at you guys. You're better together.
Yeah, that's very true.
You're ready complete without each other.
Mm, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But you guys probably know where each other's weaknesses are, where each other's strengths are, and you play off each other like that. And that's perfect.
Mm.
Yeah, that's so nice. And I love the way you were speaking about that. Sorry.
And that brings us to a thing called polarity. I had never heard of polarity. So polarity is the differences within couples, friends, couple, whatever, the differences that at the start you really admire about the person, and then after a while you let it really start to annoy you. But we must remember, that's what we fell in love with the person for maybe their fixed mindset and their they were so loyal and all those things. And then after a while, that starts to become a bit tedious. We must remember to celebrate that. When we're watching movies, Nigel always is like, oh, she's just great. She's just mad, and she's just such a free spirit, and she's just great. And I'll be like, you understand that's all fine until you're married to them for 25 years. And then after a while, it becomes a bit like, oh my days, what is she doing now? You know, which is Nigel's life. Cause I'm just like, okay, Nigel, you know what we should do now? What? And he's like, okay, sweetheart, just a tiny break, could we just be calm for like a minute? That would just be awesome. It'd be awesome. So it's the thing that he loves about me, but it can also drive him a little bit crazy in a bad way.
Mm-hmm.
That's funny you said that, actually, because I was just going to ask you about this whole idea of a honeymoon phase, because I feel like I spoke to some of my friends like leading up to this interview, and I was thinking, yeah, like what is something that everyone always says? And I'm like, is it even a thing? Like, is it even true? Like this whole idea of a honeymoon phase, like people, and as well, this idea of like getting bored. I feel like quite a lot of people get to a certain point and they're like, I'm bored now. But I was wondering, like, is there something actually much deeper going on, do you think? Or is it actually just that they want to move on?
It's, yes, you're right, it's much deeper. I've actually just finished the Honeymoon Effect book. I think people, the really smart psychologists, people, brain people, are saying now that our subconscious controls 95% of our actions. So when we first get into a relationship, we are so conscious. We are so conscious. We're texting back. We're making the plans. We're doing the things. We're in the relationship really consciously. Okay. So like right now, I'm really consciously speaking to you ladies. But if we were chatting later, I would just be like, oh, it was great, fun, and da 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 da. Right now, I'm really consciously speaking. I'm bringing forth the information. And that's how it is at the beginning of a relationship. And then we just start to fall into this subconscious behaviors, things we saw when we were growing up. And a lot of it can be that you do want to be more natural and more free flowing. But we must remember to be conscious in our relationships. Just like days when you go to work and you just really put the time in, but you're not really very productive. You're having a sort of a subconscious day at work. You don't get very much out of your work on those days. But when you go in and go, right, here is the plan for today. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be proactive. I'm going to do. Then that's a really good work day. And relationships are just like that. You have to put in consciously, both people putting into the relationship constantly, making the dates, having good conversations, having really conscious conversations about politics, opinions, core values, love languages, having those really conscious conversations for a long, long time, for years and years and years.
That's so interesting. So we think a lot about the subconscious mind and how, and like in terms of limiting beliefs and how our subconscious mind and whatever is in there, it drives so much of our behavior. But I obviously I'm not in a relationship, so I never think about it in the context of that, but that makes so much sense when you think about it with the honeymoon period, that yeah, you just need to keep consciously just try and bring in the honeymoon, keep it going, like it, yeah, rather than just falling back and getting a bit lazy.
But how much more conscious are we in our friendships than we are in our romantic relationships? We know if we want to stay friends with people, we have to text. We have to do, they would like that, we think, or there's a song they would like, I'm going to send that to them. Or there's some, we're really conscious in our friendships, and then we become subconscious in our relationships.
Why do you think that is, that there's such a difference between friendships and relationships and how we sort of behave? Because also it's funny, because at the start at the start of a friendship, you never like on that super high conscious level where you're like, oh, should I have said that, or did I text in the right way, have I said the right thing, and oh, they've waited this long to reply, and all those things that you kind of like freak out about in the very early stages of speaking to someone because you're starting to really like them. And that, obviously when you with friendships, you don't ever do that. You're just more relaxed at the start. But why do you think that is, that then you become more subconscious in relationships but remain conscious in friendships? And like the,
I definitely think it's a case of we start to take our relation, our romantic relationships for granted.
Right. Yeah.
Where we know that we have to put the work in. I don't, and these are all subconscious things. Mm-hmm. These are not, we don't actually think these things. I also think that lots of really good relationships start off from friendships.
Right. Okay.
You know, because that whole butterfly, you want to have butterflies and you want, but that sort of almost manic state at the start, when that fades, sometimes that can be a little bit sad when that fades, you know, because it is going to fade. But sometimes the best way to start is on a friendship level. Let's just keep, you know, let's just keep this nice and, you know, let's see if we can move this friendship on to something romantic. But also remembering that you're with the person. Maybe the sex is great. Maybe the, you know, it's all passion, all of that. But remember, you have to like the person. You have to want to be with them and just hang out with them, you know, like you would with your friends.
That's definitely a huge thing as well. I think we are fed in society that when you meet someone, you should literally feel like absolutely on top of the world, like just spiral out of your head. And I think in that attached, it explained that sometimes that's not the best thing. That might actually just be your attachment style. And actually meeting someone that's good for you will probably make you feel more relaxed. And when I read that, I was like, oh my God, that makes so much more sense. But I feel like as we're growing up, if like say you went on a date or something, I feel like the one thing you kind of discuss with your friends is, oh my God, did you have that feeling? Did you have that spark? But now I've realized that actually it's not all about that spark. Sometimes you can actually like build on that. It just changes everything.
It does. I put up a poll a couple of weeks ago on Instagram. So in the kitchen, I came into the living room and Nigel was watching with our son, Superman. And Nigel said, do you not think he is like the perfect man? Like he is just like tall, dark, handsome, the body. And he's just a lovely, lovely guy as well. And I was like, does absolutely nothing for me. And Nigel was like, are you having an actual laugh? Clearly, we're both quite secure attachment style. And I was like, no, give me Jason Momoa any day of the week. And Nigel was like, there's something wrong with every single one of you. There's something wrong with, I was like, well, let's just see what the people say, Nigel. Let's see what the people say. They put a poll up. Of course, all the women love Jason Momoa because Superman's not getting a look in. You know, we all just want the mad and the passion and the clothes ripping off and that we all want this. Well, it's not healthy. It's not healthy. Mm. It's some sort of programming that's in there. You'll be better off with Superman.
I'm going to remember that next time.
You can build a good, solid relationship with Superman. You know, I actually think Jason Momoa is lovely and I think he's lovely. But, you know, the characters that he plays are all very, you know, very barbaric sort of thing. But anyway, so yes, we build because you see all that mad, that's just chemicals. That's all it is. It's just happy chemicals. That's all it is. And it's dopamine. And you cannot have your relationship be your drug fix. Okay? You cannot have relationships being like taking coke. It's not a real thing. Okay? You need nice, steady relationship. Okay.
If you're sort of like someone that's listening now, if they find they have like quite a repeated pattern of where they keep starting to date people who make them feel that drug fix kind of thing, up and down, all the chemicals going off, what is something that they can do to start to reset that reprogramming? So obviously there's something causing that for them to be like attracted to that and respond in that way. Is there anything they can do within themselves to just become more aware of that and trying to stop doing that so they can attract a healthy relationship instead?
They probably are going to have to do some inner child work. Some inner child healing, I would say, because that could be a lot of issues that maybe come up for you when you were younger, or, you know, those old daddy issues coming up or things that you've seen growing up. So I would recommend a lot of inner child healing, which is exhausting. I've done my inner child work. It is absolutely brilliant, but exhausting. But so eye-opening, And really getting yourself to a healthy place of your own happiness, and then just wanting someone else to come along and journey it with you, rather than having to, that you having to get that fix all the time, you know, because it's not healthy.
What are your thoughts on dating apps and things like that? Because obviously from when you will have met your husband, and the world's so different now, and especially with the pandemic, it will have pushed even more people to be using that, because obviously we're not out in bars, we're not out that much, it's we're not in those kind of social interactions anymore where you can just randomly meet somebody and get chatting that way. So obviously people still want to be dating, they still want to meet people despite being in a pandemic, but also just in our modern world in general, obviously the dating apps and sliding people's DMs on Instagram and stuff like that, it's just so much more what happens now. But obviously some people are really not into dating apps, feel like they're becoming a bit more like a bit more accepted and casual now, but at first people were like, or they wouldn't want to admit that they'd maybe met their partner on an app and things like that. So if somebody is, has got a bit of a thing about them, do you think they're just getting in their own way and they should just embrace them? Or what are your thoughts on dating apps and like navigating the initial stages of dating and meeting people on there?
Well, first of all, we were joking the other night and I said, I think I'm going to have to download one of the dating apps, the T one, just to see how it works, because this is hilarious. I hear about this all the time. I may just have to. And then I was like to my girls, could you download it? And they're like, Mommy, no, that is not a real thing. It is not happening. I do not want my friends saying, is your mom on Tinder? But I need to know how it works. I need to know what it is. It's just for research. And they're like, stop it. There's a line and that's it right there. So, well, from what I can understand, there seems to be two different things. There are people who go onto dating apps to date. There are people who go onto dating apps because they want to have sex tonight. That is two different things. That is two different things. And I think somewhere or other, some lovely people will have to make a beautiful app. This could be you, girls. Conscious dating.
Yeah.
And I'll come and do the training for you. No problem at all. Conscious dating. Are you going on this app to actually find someone to spend time with, get to know, want to be your best self, want them to be their best self, want to find out your love language, or do you just want to shag tonight? Which is it? So we could have a section for the people who actually want growth and conscious relationships. And we could have a section for, is it just looking to hook up tonight? Because we can do that too, but it's over here in this section. And just be honest about it. Okay. So my advice, if you're going on dating apps, be really conscious and say all your big girl words and all your big boy words and say, I'm not on here for a quick shag. You do know what shagging is in London. We say that in London. I'm not on here for that. I'm on here to find someone who I want to journey my life with. Just put it out there. And you know what? That'll scare the shit out of people who don't want that. And you're better off getting rid of those ones to start with. Okay. Say, I know what my love languages are. I would love it if you could do your love language test before we would meet. Do you know what your attachment style is? Because I know what my attachment style is and I'm doing the inner work. So if you know what your attachment style is, maybe we could start from there. And that'll scare the bejesus out of anybody who's just in it for a quick shag. You know, I've heard stories of people meeting, going for a social distancing walk, thinking it's all going well. And then the guy messages 3 hours later, send me a pic. And they're like, okay. So they send them like a nice little picture of him sitting in the garden. No, you know what I mean? A picture of your tits. I'm like, what now? Just stop it. Just stop. That's just not how we behave. No. We deserve better.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. If you want to send half the countryside a picture of your tits, have at it. Have at it. But if you want a long-term relationship, if you want a long-term relationship, that's not how it starts, usually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that so much.
Sorry, ladies. Did you think this was going to go this way?
No, you know, I'm loving it.
I'm absolutely loving it.
Loving it so much. But that's so true. I think we do need that app, because I'm like that in a similar place. Like Grace and I, we are working in the minute on, like, we're always working on our limits and release, doing the work, working on ourselves. And it's like, I want to meet someone that has done the work. Like, I'm not doing all this work to meet someone that's not doing any work. Like, that's not fair. I'm not doing all this work for nothing. But yeah, with dating apps, I think I don't even go on them now, because I'm just like, you just don't really know what people are looking for. And it's just like so off-putting sometimes. So, I mean, I think that's an amazing idea.
Well, you go on and you change your profile and get it sorted out and ask them what relationship books they've read and what are they bringing to the table? Mm-hmm. Because you're awesome and you deserve greatness.
Yeah.
So what are you bringing to me, mate?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly. I'm going to do that in the future. Be more cutthroat. I don't care about, exactly, like you said as well, if you scare people off, then you're scaring off the people that like don't deserve you. So it doesn't matter anyway.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah,
because there's so many stories, so many of like your friends, everyone goes through the experiences. It's so common where, you know, they might meet someone on an app and go out for a couple of dates and they think that, you know, this could potentially blossom into a relationship, and then they find out actually no, the other person's not looking for that and they just want something a bit casual and just a shag. So and then the other person gets so hurt. But if you because I feel like you're going into it with good intentions at the start, but you're not being clear about what it is that you actually are looking for, and you're just thinking, oh, I'll just let this blossom, oh, I really like them, just see what happens, you can end up potentially wasting your time and getting your feelings hurt. So it's good to hear it from you, to just say you just need to be like, use your big girl words, big boy words, and just be upfront. I think that's the best way to be, definitely.
Mm-hmm, 100%.
So we also wanted to ask a little bit about soulmates, because this is another one of the things as we grow up, there's this huge thing of finding your soulmate. And I've been pondering this a lot lately about whether I actually believe in soulmates. But we wanted to know your thoughts. Do you believe in soulmates?
No one's ever asked me that before. Excellent. Excellent. I've done about 30 podcasts and no one's ever asked me that before. Soulmates. Let me have a little think. I think it could be a dangerous road to go down, because what if you got yourself all tied up in, I think they were my soulmate and now they're, you know, I think that's a, maybe should we be more worried about being our own soulmate and looking for after our own soul? And what, so I would teach it that we all have a divine spark. So within us, we're all brought here with a divine spark. But as life goes on, that spark gets covered up with, maybe you were bullied, maybe you had an eating disorder, maybe your parents weren't, all the things. And your divine spark gets covered up. So your soul gets covered up with all debris and muck of the day. And maybe our job is scraping away all those limiting beliefs, all that damage, and really finding our own soul, being our own soulmate. Mm. And then bringing that to someone else. Mm-hmm. Maybe. That just came to me there now.
Yeah, I know. I love that answer.
Yeah. Amazing answer.
Yeah, because I think when you go on to like the journey of doing the inner work and like a self-love journey, you do get to that point where you're working on yourself so much, you then, and you're like being sought to be really compassionate with yourself, like holding space for yourself to look at, you know, maybe the painful parts of you, the bits that are difficult to work through. And you're like, you support yourself through that. You get to that point where you do feel like you're in a great relationship with yourself, like you're really like your own best friend, your own soulmate. So I really like that answer. That's really nice.
Mm-hmm. And then if someone else has done all that work with themselves, sure, that's great. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I always do hear this idea of like, you attract who you are as well. So like, if we work on our inner world, then surely we're going to attract somebody else that has done the work as well, which is just exciting. Mm-hmm.
Do you find with your clients that you, like the problems they have, are they this might be quite deep, but like their triggers, are they things that trigger each other that are from patterns from like of things they need to work on? You know, we're saying you attract who you are. Is it also, I don't know if the word is trauma bonds. I'm not sure if that's the right word or what, but do you notice that as well? But do you, obviously, I don't know if you would get really, if you'll only have couples that come to you that are obviously in having a lot of problems, but that's that term of you attract what you are. Do you see that in evidence in with your clients?
Well, we'll go a wee bit deep here, girls, will we? So two things. Trauma bond is when you're in a toxic relationship and you're addicted to the toxic relationship. Mm-hmm. So that would be a different thing.
Okay.
I think that maybe I believe that we're attracted to people to mirror back to us where we need healed.
Mm-hmm.
So if we are getting triggered about something, if we are getting frustrated about something, where in that is a wound that needs healed? And maybe mm-hmm. we attract people to us if we're on the healing journey, if we're on the self-worth and self-growth journey, maybe the universe gives us people to bring us, you know how you hear people saying, oh, I thought I was done with this growth thing and then this happened. Oh, it's like, yeah, because the universe thought, oh, really, you think you're all that? Here's another wound to heal, you know. And there would be a school of thought that would, there'd be a school of thought that would teach that your children are sent to you for you to heal your wounds.
Mm.
Because where you're triggered is a mirror of what you need to look at.
Yeah. Wow. That's very interesting.
Yeah, it is. But when people hear that, they will definitely reflect on their relationships and think, that makes sense. Maybe they need to heal something.
So, for example, at the weekend, I don't ever want to get on any of these and people say, oh, she thinks she has a great relationship and she's just like showing off. No, I just have some tips and tools that I have educated myself on and I want to share them. But at the weekend, it was a disaster here. Disaster, disaster, disaster. A little tiny thing came up for us. It was a little tiny disagreement, not a big deal. And then on Saturday morning, Nigel was like, I'm sorry about that. That was just a misunderstanding and da, da, da. What did I do? Went all up on him, all up on his grill when he apologized. That is one of my woundedness. That is some of my woundedness. When in my family of origin, when someone stepped into vulnerability, that was seen to be the time to go and start the giving off and start the shouting and start the lecturing. So I remember as a teenager stepping into, I'm sorry I was late, mum. I'm sorry I didn't ring, mum. And that was the time that my mum would then go full on lecture mode. So what did I do? On Saturday, I've been on this journey a long time. On Saturday, what did I do? Full on lecture mode. Poor Nige was like, I'm sorry about that. Let's not ruin. Nope. What did I do? Full on. Forget the growth. Forget all the stuff. Full on. Back to subconscious thinking, programming, all the things. So I had to go away, had to sit with it, had to journal, had to meditate, had to sit with it and go, okay, Lisa, what the flicking hell are you at? Got to reset. Got to reset. Go back. Ask for the apology, or say the apology, ask for forgiveness, say, this was just a thing, come for me. Not my best self. Can we go again? Can we go again?
Yeah, the reset. Something just popped into my mind then. what you were saying there about where we slip into those subconscious patterns, and a lot of it is from, you know, how it, what the relationship dynamics were in our own families when we were growing up. Obviously divorce rates are much higher now than, you know, they used to be, and there's a lot of people who've grown up with divorced parents. How do you see, like, how have you seen any impact that is having on, like, how or does divorce not impact the child's view of relationships? I suppose it's circumstantial, isn't it, on how the whole separation was handled, but where it's quite common now for people to grow up in that way, is it, how does that then,
yeah,
I don't know, change their view?
There's lots of things I've noticed coming up. One, there are lots of people whose parents have divorced very in a healthy manner, and it hasn't affected them, or they've learned and they've grown and they've done the work. There are a lot of people whose parents have stayed together, but maybe the dad was absent, an absent father figure. So I don't mean divorced, I mean absent. Yeah. I mean in the house, but emotionally void. Mm-hmm. That seems to be horrendous. That I'm not a psychologist, but for me,
yeah,
dealing with people, that seems to be, and that seems to be really difficult for guys. Guys who've had an absent father, really, they need to do the work. They need to do the inner work. Then the opposite is sometimes strange that people who have seen poor examples growing up reprogram really easily, because they're like, I'm not doing all that. That there was just a shit show. And I am going to do something totally different. I'm going to get the tools. I'm going to do the inner work. I'm going to read all the books. I'm going to counseling. I'm going to do all the things because I'm not having that. That to me is the best way to go at it. And I know that that's what Nigel and I did as well. We sort of, our parents, my mum has passed now, but our parents were together all their lives. But there was definitely communication styles that we were like, absolutely not. We're not doing that. You know, there was definitely things that was, you know, not talked about that should have been talked about. And we've seen all that. And we've been like, okay, we're going to do the absolute opposite to that, because that clearly didn't work. We're going to do the absolute opposite. But then there's still some conscious stuff that comes up for you.
So if somebody is in a relationship now, having a few problems, and they want to come and work with someone like you, but their partner is not very, you know, switched into things like that, and will be like, no, why would we bring our relationship in with somebody else, and would feel, you know, ego attacked even by, you know, suggesting it. But, you know, the person that's suggesting it knows that it could really, really help. How should they go about, trying to get their partner involved to be open to coming to see somebody like you and doing couples coaching?
So I have layers to build people up. So I have a private group, and it's £16 a month to be my private group. And that's about where we do the growth on ourselves. So we lead by example. We do the growth on ourselves and we lead by example. And then hopefully our person will say, oh, so for example, you know, I said I'm the worst coach ever because I tell everybody everything about myself. So the first time I went to coaching, the first time I went to counseling after my mom passed about a year, but I just felt I still just was not quite there. And I was getting very short tempered and just a bit where I knew that wasn't really me. So I went two or three times and I came home and Nige said, just by the way, how much is this? And I said, well, it is, it's £50, Nigel. He said, well, could you start paying her double? Because it's really working. He was being funny, but his point was he could see the difference. So then when I suggested going to coaching when we were having problems, he could see that that already worked for me. So we lead by example. We don't say, you need to change yours. Okay. Maybe you need to reprogram a situation that's coming up for you in an argument style. And you can say out your mouth, I'm reprogramming and I'm choosing this instead of my old programming. And your person will be like, what now? And they'll be like, see how it worked better when I reprogrammed and did that. So we show, we teach by example. So the Facebook group is for people who are on their growth journey. Facebook group is for people who are on their growth journey. Then my second layer up is I do webinars. So there's lots of people that will come to a webinar, but they wouldn't come to couples coaching. So my webinar this month is for couples on the five or six things that come up, like how to reprogram, how to invest in your sex life, a whole thing about polarity, lots of different things about the communication. So we're going to cover five or six things in that. And then my webinar in May is going to be for 19 to 29 year olds. And it's going to be all about the things that I wish I had known.
That sounds great.
So these are just places to start. These are just places to start before we get to I think we need to go to couples coaching. The other thing about them is you come to them and you go, okay, that wasn't that bad. That's just information that we should all have. That's just information that we should have. That woman has clearly educated herself on things and she just wants to share the tips and tools. It's not threatening. And we have to get past the shame and guilt about educating ourselves about ourselves and relationships. We have to get past the shame and guilt and the pride. A lot of guys have a lot of pride around it.
Yeah, I can imagine that. I feel like if you do let your ego get in the way, then sometimes that may stop you. But like we said at the start, we're not educating on these things. So we do need people like you. And you've literally covered so many amazing things. But I did want to actually quickly just go back to one of the things you said right at the start. And you were saying that one of the main things to thrive in a relationship and a really healthy thing is to have that good sex life or that healthy sex life and keep sex a priority. So obviously Grace and I are single at the minute, but for any of our listeners that are listening now and they're thinking that is something that they feel like is becoming an issue is their sex life, what would be your like basic tips to start start like creating that, just getting that sex life maybe back to how it was at the beginning or something like that?
So a lot of people that I talk to, and this is an issue, I will put them on the 21-day challenge. So the original 21-day challenge was that you had to have sex every day for 21 days. That can be very challenging. But what I would say to people is be intimate every day for 21 days. Kissing, holding hands, massaging, whatever it is, be intimate, be more than roommates every day. Talk about your sex life. Make it a natural thing to be able to say, I really like that. I really loved it when you did that. That made me really feel very special. Bring it into your everyday conversation. Bring it like it was at the start of your relationship. It has to be a focus. It has to be, when you come tonight, I would like to do this. Or could we try that? Or should we? Just a normal thing that you talk about. Just bring it in. Sometimes what happens is we come so far down the road and it's almost like sex and intimacy are like, we don't even know how to get back there. So start with kissing. Start with kissing. Start with holding hands. You know, start that sort of thing. Because sometimes it's just too far away. We can't even get back to it. Or sometimes I recommend just rip the plaster off and get it done. It's not going to be great. It's not going to be great. It's going to be not great. But you know, you just need to get that done that one time. So you get back, as they say, on the bike.
Love that.
What you were saying about the healthy sex life is the glue to your relationship. What is there? Sorry, go on. What did you want?
I had something I meant to say too.
Oh, okay.
Intimacy. So intimacy can be said like this. Seeing into me. Seeing into me. That is intimacy. And that is what we all crave. To be seen.
Yeah.
It's an absolutely beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Absolutely beautiful thing. Sorry.
No, I was just, I love that. I've actually recently heard that. I think my friend said it to me, that intimacy thing. And it just makes so much sense. But what you were saying about how a healthy sex life is the glue to your relationship. Is there a one side, like, is there a blanket, this is a healthy sex life, or is it up to each couple to define for them what is our healthy sex life?
Yeah, I think it's up to each couple. And healthy sex, like, is it the glue to a long-term relationship?
Okay.
It's not the glue to our relationship. It's a glue to long term. So your sex life is going to change and morph and, you know, all the things, but it's about making sure you're making it important. So sometimes I say to people, this may be not very PC. Sometimes I say to people, how many times do you actually feel like going to the gym? Now, girls, I know that I have to go to the gym. I know that I have to lift heavy things. I know that I have to go out for a walk, but quite frankly, I'd rather drink a glass of wine. Okay? So sometimes it is, we just know we have to talk about sex. We have to make it important. Even though we are tired, even though we are stressed, we have to prioritize it. And let's face it, mm-hmm. a little bit like the gym, usually once we get there, it's great crack.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you're like, oh, what is this now? What is it you want? It's like, oh, actually, that's quite nice. Yes, I'm doing this, you know? It's all about the head.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay? How many times have you gone to the gym because you know your friend's waiting there for you, when if you left, if it was up to you, you wouldn't go?
Yeah, that's so exactly. True. Wow.
Mindset.
Yeah. I thought you've given us so much incredible advice. I've absolutely loved this chat.
Yeah,
so much good knowledge. I think like, everyone's really, really going to benefit from listening to this. So for anybody that, you know, they want to come follow you on Instagram, they want to come to your webinars, join your Facebook group, or maybe even, you know, do couples coaching with you, where can everybody find you? How can they get involved and work with you? I think by the time this episode comes out, it'll be the day after your webinar, which you said was next Tuesday. So, but you said you've got another one in May. So everybody could, that's listening can attend that one.
Yes. I'm very active on Instagram, even though I didn't know what Instagram was 2 years ago. So I'm very active on there. So I'm on my stories all the time. So it's relationship.coaching.ni on Instagram. So you find me there. Please don't DM me with questions about your relationship, because I cannot give advice when I don't know both sides.
Yeah.
But if you want to join my waiting list for couples coaching, email me. I'd like to join your waiting list for couples coaching. If it's webinars, all the tickets will be on there, and the information for the Facebook group is all on there. Or if you want to message me to say, I'd like to join your Facebook group, message me on there. But I do get people, I don't know, do you know Sinead Hegarty? So she's one of the big influencers here in Ireland, and she was the one who shouted me out at the start. I went on to a live with her one time and I said, so ask me any questions. Oh my days. I was like 3 days answering questions. I was like one of those, I just couldn't go into my DMs. I was like one of those people. Just kind of mental. So yeah. And I understand people would like a quick fix, but it's sometimes a wee bit more than that.
Yeah,
in my Facebook group, I have questions and answers day. I have questions and answers days in my Facebook group. But that's because I've got to know you a little bit and you've got to know that sort of thing. So yeah, on Instagram is the best place to find me.
Okay,
I have a website
perfect.
As well.
Well, we will.
And I have a shop.
Yeah.
And I have a shop.
Oh. Wow. What are you selling in your shop?
It's called Just a Thought Shop. I'm selling mugs that say Just a Thought. Because my little thing at the start was when I ever did videos or anything at the very start of all this, I would just say, it's just a thought, because it's just my thoughts. It was just my thoughts that I was sharing with people. But the Just a Thought thing has become huge, because it's about mindset and knowing that our thoughts lie to us, knowing about our automatic negative thoughts, knowing about our inner critic, knowing about our ego. It's all that. So the Just a Thought thing has become like my little logo. So there's cups and there's notebooks and there's hoodies. And there's bracelets. So, yes.
Oh, wow.
Sainsbury's next year. Sainsbury's next year.
Well, we'll link your Instagram, your shop, your Facebook group, all your webinars and everything. We'll link it all in the show notes so people can come and find you, because I'm sure they're definitely going to want to come and get involved with you after this conversation. But thank you so much, Lisa, for coming on. I've really, really enjoyed this and sharing all your knowledge with us. It's been amazing.
Yes, thank you. It's been amazing.
Thank you. Well, ladies, it fills my heart to know that there are young women like you doing all the work. Awesome. Awesome. I didn't start this work till I was like 44. So you guys are ahead of the game. You're ahead of the game. And you're doing really brilliant work. Brilliant.
Oh, thank you. That's exciting.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening to this episode, guys. I really, really, really hope you enjoyed it and got a lot out of it, because I know that we certainly did.
Yeah, literally. I feel like there's so much to get on with now, like love languages and everything. And I've got so much more to learn.
Yeah, so much to learn. The learning never, never stops. But you know where to find Lisa if you want to follow her, if you want to join her Facebook group or go to one of her webinars. She's got one coming up at the beginning of May that is all aimed at, the, like she said, young people and what she wished she knew at that age, up to age 29. So that I actually might go. It sounds very...
Yeah, I was just thinking
I'm not might go. I am going to go. I'm going to be there. So maybe I'll see some of you guys there. But yeah, you know where to find her if you want to follow her and get involved in her services. We've left all of her links in the show notes. But thank you so much for listening.
Don't forget, guys, it is only 4 days until our next webinar, the manifesting webinar. We are so excited. We've been banging on about this. We've been planning it for weeks. We just can't wait to give you all the knowledge of what we know all about manifesting because we love talking about it.
Yes, we're going to be combining science with spirituality, putting it all into clear, cohesive steps, giving you manifesting meditation, affirmation playlist, and a manifesting ebook, as well as your ticket to the live event. So you're going to leave fully equipped on what is manifesting and how can you make it work for you. It's going to be amazing. To get your tickets, just go to our website, findingyourfeetpodcast.com. We've left the link to get your ticket in the show notes. But if you've got any questions about it, then just come message us on Instagram at findingyourfeetpodcast and we'll get straight back to you. But there's only a few days to go until the big night. You don't want to miss out. Our webinars, high energy, full of information. You will leave feeling a bigger part of this community because everyone starts to connect. You probably get added to the group chat as well, the Finders group chat. You will leave with some new friends, some new powerful manifesting friends. So yeah, come and join us. It's going to be really good. And if you want to know anything about it, you know where to find us.
Yeah, for sure. And we also are running a competition on our Instagram and we're going to announce the winner on Friday and you will be winning webinar tickets as well. So if you do want to go and enter that, then go and enter it. But definitely keep an eye on Saturday and Friday for who has won. And just don't forget to get your ticket.
Yes, you don't want to miss out on this competition. Get some good books, some good crystals and the manifesting webinar tickets. So if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, you know what to do. Hit subscribe so you never miss an episode and leave us a review for your chance to be featured in Review of the Week next week. And if you're listening on Spotify, hit follow so you always get our episodes. We release them every Wednesday and every Sunday.
As we said last week, we have a brand new affirmation on the website, the Money Manifesting Affirmation, along with a whole range of affirmations on different subjects. They're planned and recorded by us. You can pop them on in the morning or in the evening and really rewire those subconscious beliefs. And we also have our meditations on the website if you do want to go and check those out too.
We also have a mailing list, guys. So if you want to sign up to our Monday morning mailing list and let us email you, it's never spam, it's never marketing, it's just a download from the soul, a positive wisdom filled email landing straight into your inbox on a Monday morning to start your week off right. We always get really, really good feedback on the emails. Everybody loves them. So it's very different to the kind of thing we put on Instagram as well. So if you want to receive our emails, the link to sign up is in the show notes. And don't forget as well, if you are watching on YouTube, to hit subscribe, like this video and comment. Let us know what you thought of today's episode. And if you aren't listening on YouTube, but you'd love to start watching the podcast on there, we put all of our big Wednesday episodes on our YouTube channel. Finding Your Feet, the podcast is the channel name. We've also left a link in the show notes.
But that's all for now. Thank you so much for listening, everyone, and we will see you next time.
Bye.